We're continuing on this series on worship, and thus far we have considered the kind of worship that Jesus spoke of in John 4 that expresses affection for God, which is a great word of insight. You may recall that Jesus even said that that's the kind of worshipers that the Father is seeking. Also, we looked at the kind of worship that he mentions in Matthew 15, that God views as worthless because ritual and man-made traditions replace responsibility to love others as we should. And we've also considered the acceptable worship service that Paul writes about in Romans 12 that stems from a heart of a person who wants to be a living sacrifice in response to God's great mercy. This morning I'd like us to consider a word that is often thought to be a synonym for worship, although it isn't an exact synonym. It's the word praise. The word praise. Before reading our text in Psalm 150 today, I want you to prepare to learn a few things. We're going to tell you what those things are to highlight. But if you want to open your Bibles to Psalm 150 or look at that passage on your devices, we are going to be looking at that text. It's a very short psalm, but it's a powerful one. We're going to learn from this psalm who we are to praise. We're going to learn where we are to praise. We're going to also learn why we are to praise and how we are to praise. All in this short psalm. Now, the Greek word that's translated as praise here is apenios. And it means to give abundant praise accompanied by applause and or cheers. It was used in the culture of the day to refer to a standing ovation when you were honoring one who held a high position or who had achieved some great victory. Now, again, the psalm. You ready for it? Praise the Lord in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. Praise Him for His acts of power. Praise Him for His surpassing greatness. Praise Him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise Him with the harp and the lyre. Praise Him with tambourine and dancing. Praise Him with the strings and flute. Praise Him with the clash of cymbals. Praise Him with the resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. So again, in this text, who is it that deserves the praise? Well, it's the Lord, right? Praise the Lord. It's Him. Now, many of you have probably seen the video of how Steve Harvey proposed that he would introduce Jesus, how he would do that if he had the opportunity. In spite of what you may have heard, it was not delivered to a secular audience, but it was at a T.D. Jakes conference. Now, here's my adaptation of his address. I mean, no disparaging thing to him, but again, I've added to it. Actually clarified a couple of things in it. So this is my adaptation of his address. Are you ready? Are you ready, everybody?
Ready.
I'm going to introduce Jesus. It is my honor to introduce one that needs no introduction. He hails out of a manger in Bethlehem of Judea by way of heaven. Though the creator and control of the universe, he was born of a virgin. His father is the father of all living things, and the author of the greatest book that has ever been written. His credits are too many to list, for he's done the impossible time and again. He fed thousands of hungry souls with 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. He healed every man of sickness and even raised the dead. He walked on water and took water to wine. He sends daily rain and sunshine, and sometimes even calls fire from the sky. He was hailed the wonderful counsel of the King of all kings, the Lord of lords. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the bright morning star, the rose of Sharon, the Prince of Peace, the Savior of all the world. He lived a perfect life. He was crucified as a criminal on a cross. He conquered the grave after just 3 days before ascending to glory, which prepared a place for you and me in his Father's house. He personally knows the name of every man, woman, and child across the globe, and he loves us in spite of all of our faults and failures. So get on your feet, church, and put your hands together to show your love for the one and only Son of God. Praise Jesus. Praise Him now in anticipation of the coming of Him again. Well, does He deserve that? Doesn't He deserve that? If you're at home, you know, watching this, get up on your feet. Get up on your feet. Harvey admitted afterward that he had written this as a joke. As a joke, though he became deeply convicted as he spoke about it, and the one that he acknowledged as Jesus. Friends, this is no laughing matter. Jesus deserves a standing ovation. Friends, he does. And the Apostle Paul calls for one in Romans 15:11, when he says, "Praise the Lord, all you nations, and sing praises to him, all you people." The word he uses refers to that loud cheer and a standing ovation and roaring applause. Now, I know that we don't all have the same temperament. It's more difficult for some of us to get up, let alone stand up for any length of time. And I think it's sad. I think it's very sad. Many believers insist everyone should stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, but they won't get off the seats to praise Jesus. I think it's a shame when Christians applaud their children and grandchildren when they receive an award, but they hardly acknowledge the honor that their Father in Heaven is due. It breaks my heart that so many saints will jump up and down to celebrate their team crossing a finish line, but think it's somehow undignified or inappropriate to show great affection for the one who conquered the grave. Who are we to praise? Who are we to praise? His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. Well, where are we to praise him? Well, the psalmist says in the sanctuary and in the heavens. Now, that means everywhere. In the sanctuary and heavens. The word translated heavens here is literally the expanse of all creation. Wherever we are, we're to praise him. Remember the way the psalm closed? Let everything that has breath praise him. Where? Wherever you are. Praise him. He deserves all honor, glory, and praise. Wherever we are, we're to praise him. If you're at home, praise him. If you're in your car, praise him. If you're at work, praise him. If you're gathered together in a sanctuary, praise him. Well, why? Why should we praise him? What's the psalmist say? Because of the Lord's surpassing greatness and because of all that he has done. He spoke the heavens and earth into existence. By his word, he had the stars in the sky and parted the land and the sea. He said, "Let there be light," and the light was. It pierced the darkness. He made man and woman in his image and gave them every good, perfect gift and a glorious garden. And when they messed that up, he sent his son Jesus to save mankind, all of mankind, from their sins. So why praise him? Why not? Why should we praise him? How should we praise him? Well, the psalmist says, stand up. He really does. He says, stand up and praise him with whatever you got. Be it drums and cymbals, a string instrument, or a keyboard, a horn, a harp, or a flute. And if you have no more physical prowess than I do, a kazoo will do. Just praise him. Nothing in your hands, then raise them high. And clap them together for the one who deserves the praise. He also mentions dancing. Dancing. Dancing in praise of the Lord. Dancing. Being so excited, so appreciative for all he's done that we just can't contain ourselves, that we're up on our feet and we're praising him. How shall we praise him? Sing and shout. Let the praise ring out. That's what the psalmist is saying. But we sang some songs today that were definitely songs of praise, but they weren't shouting, they weren't loud, they weren't accompanied with a lot of instrumentation. At times we even praised him with like one verse, almost a cappella, without any of the accompaniment. So it's not just about being loud, but it is about being proud of what Jesus has done for you. Not proud of yourself, but proud of him. And giving him all the honor and glory and praise. There are times when, I'll be honest with you, I feel moved to go to my knees rather than to my feet. When I think of all he's done for me. But you know what? I can still go to my knees and exalt him and praise. I can still do that. And sometimes, that's what we do need to do. When we're really moved and convicted about what he's done for us. So it's not always about being loud. But boy, the psalmist sure seems to be talking about being loud. And I think the idea is don't be ashamed about it. Don't be embarrassed about it. Recognize how much he deserves all of your praise. Every last bit of it. All of it. I hope you can see how praise
praise is linked directly to worship in that it expresses how much worth we ascribe to God. The more worthy we believe He is, the more praise flows from us. Isn't that true? The more worthy we see Him to be, the more the praise flows from us. Doesn't it? Now let me call your attention to Ephesians 1, verse 11 through 14. This is the Apostle Paul writing to believers there. He says, in Christ, verse 11, we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of Him who works out everything in conformity with purpose as well. In order that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be for the praise of His glory. Hear that, that's verse 12. That we might be the praise of His glory. Verse 13, and you were also included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession. Again, he says, to the praise of His glory. Now, the same word for this exuberant praise, this praise that's overflowing, this praise is using every bit of breath we have, every bit of strength that we have, everything that we have with us, every resource He gives us, every talent we have to praise Him, is used in this brief text twice. When it says we are to be the praise of His glory. What kind of a praise is He talking about? Well, notice, it's not what I called you to do earlier. It's not about standing up and being loud so much as it is standing up for Him and praising Him no matter where you are, with whatever ability you have, in whatever context you might be in. It's meaningful to praise Him with musical instruments. It's meaningful to praise Him with our voices in song. It's meaningful to do that. And I believe that He accepts that, He loves that, or we would be called to do that. But hear me. The praise of His glory in this text is people who stand up for Him, who declare the truth that we are His children, and we celebrate Him in the way we live, in the choices we make, in the things that we do. We are to be the praise of His glory. We are to be to the praise of His glory. I've shared over the past couple weeks how so many things that we may not have considered to be worship, may not have really considered to be really ascribing worth to God, really are, as far as God is concerned. And one of the things that I think is so often overlooked is that we praise Him in the sanctuary. But again, where does He say also praise Him? In the heavens. And again, that's not us being in heaven. That's being in the expanse of all creation. May it never be said that we lift our hands in worship, but won't lift a finger to help our fellow man. May it not be true of us that we would raise our voices in praise, but remain silent in the face of tyranny and evil. May no one ever be able to accuse us of merely lip-syncing old familiar songs, but may our service to God and others be suitable lyrics for a new song, the song of the redeemed. For as John says in Revelation 5:9, God has purchased us from every nation by the blood of Jesus. And so we should be singing a new song, the song of the redeemed. But it's not just about singing, it's about being a song of praise to Him. I shared with some of you that many years ago, Cast of Crowns had a song called Life Song. And that really spoke to me. Let my life be a life song to You. Let my choices, may everything I do be a life song to You. May it be a praise to You. May it be a declaration of how much I appreciate You, how much I adore You, how much worth I ascribe to You, how valuable You are to me. How precious You are to me. Let's offer Him a sacrifice of praise that brings glory to His name. It brings glory to His name. There was a story told of a little boy who was told by his mother to go sit down in the corner. He was being disciplined. You go sit down in the corner, I don't want you to get up, you know, until 10 minutes has passed. Now, because they would say he must have been 10 years old, because it's been for a year. They said, don't go over that, right? But you sat down there. After a while, she saw a smirk on his face, and she said to him, what do you smile about? He says, I'm still standing up on the inside. Let's be like that. It was mentioned earlier that we seem sometimes to feel like we're hindered from being able to praise Him, to worship Him in ways that we're accustomed to. There may be ways that we feel moved to, but we don't feel that we can because of some confines, because of some restrictions. But you know what? Let's be determined to be standing up on the inside for Jesus. Let's be determined to have a heart of praise for Him. Because if we do, you know what? As soon as the timeout's over, what are we going to be? We're going to be on our feet, right? We're going to be on our feet praising Him because our heart hasn't changed within us. It's a heart to praise Him, that appreciates Him, that loves Him, and will pour out not just our praise, but our very lives to Him, to be to the praise of His glory, to the praise of His glory. I know there are many today who are feeling, once again, hindered, unable, incapable of expressing worship to God in the way that they were accustomed to, the way that they want to, the way that they desire to. And I understand that, because I long for that too, don't you? I long for that too, to be together again, singing together, you know, just letting the praises ring out to do that. But in the meantime, let us have the heart of praise. Let us have that heart to praise Him with all we got, with all that we are, with whatever He puts into our hands, whatever He blesses with, because it all belongs to Him. Why? Because all the praise belongs to Him. Amen. Let's pray. Well, God, I want to thank You. You are worthy of all praise and honor. Jesus, worthy of praise and honor. Father, Your word tells us that when He comes again, there will be people who will refuse to acknowledge Him, refuse to praise Him, refuse to confess Him. But who will? They will. When they see Him come, they will. They'll finally be convicted. They'll finally be convinced. Wow. He does deserve all praise, honor, and glory. And they may do it out of fear. But Father, let us do it out of love. Let us do it out of love for You and appreciation for You and affection for You and for Jesus and all that He's done. Father, I confess that there have been times when I put my praise in a box. I put it within maybe a hymnal or within a songbook in the rack of the pew. And I've limited to that. And Father, I ask You to forgive me for that. I pray, Father, that we never compartmentalize our lives so much that we're not continually in a mode of praise. And Father, when we have the opportunity, when we have the opportunity to express Your worth, the worth of Your Son Jesus to others, I pray we will do that. We will praise You and praise Your Son and praise all that You've done for us and not be a bit concerned about who might hear us. Thank You, God. You deserve all honor and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.